Welcome to the show, everybody. How you doing? It is me, Adam Krigler, the host, of course, of the Krigler Show. Today, I don't have segments. Instead, I have a guest. Yes to having guests again. I'm so excited to have guests again. You have no idea. I missed having guests. I missed talking to other people, talking to their lives. You might notice I'm not wearing glasses anymore. I have contacts. I've decided to start using them because everyone was complaining that you can see the screen reflection in my glasses. So I just got rid of them. No more glasses. This is me now. Woo! All right. So today we are going to be talking NFTs with Ben Jammin. Ben, welcome to the show. How you doing, mate?
I'm good, man. Thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. And congratulations about switching to the contacts. That's a big life change.
You know, I've had contacts this whole time, by the way. I honestly can't stand them. I've never really enjoyed them. And it's not that I don't mind putting them in my eyes. It's not even that. I just want to like go to sleep, take my glasses off, wake up, put my glasses on. I don't like the whole process of like, you know, making sure they're good, putting them in my eyes. I just got lazy basically with it. I'm lazy. So I'm no longer lazy. In fact, I got contacts that you get to leave in. So I could wear these contacts for like a month straight.
Nice.
And I was worried. I was a little skeptical. I'm like, you know, sleeping with contacts. I've had nightmares before. Wake up with like it, my eyes just bloodshot red. And honestly, I've had them in for like 2 days and they're not bad. So
awesome, man. Yeah. My anyway, wife usually spends half her time looking for hers. So I know what you're talking about.
What, the glasses?
No, the contacts. You usually can't find them.
Because she doesn't have them in the eyes. Oh, that's funny. Anyway, welcome to the show, Ben. Tell us who you are. I know you're an NFT guy. We're going to be talking about that, but how did you get into NFTs in the first place? Like, tell us your story.
Sure. Well, I go by Ben Jammin. Ben Jammin. Nickname came when I was like 2 years old. My dad was just holding me up singing "We've Been Jammin'," you know, the Bob Marley. So he loves it. I love it. I've stuck with it ever since.
Nice.
And, you know, I grew up working in the restaurant industry, doing everything from bussing tables all the way up to managing restaurants. And While I was doing all that, I went to school for computer programming and web development. Mm-hmm. While I was in school, I created one of the first 3D printing college clubs in the country. And I started getting recruited by military manufacturers and defense contractors.
Oh, and, okay.
Interesting twist. Yeah, it gets thrown around. My college days were a little weird.
Yeah.
So I started getting recruited there. And then at the same time, I was putting out this fantasy sports data. So I was collecting baseball data from all over the internet and combining it together, putting together projections and rankings and all this stuff for daily fantasy sports like FanDuel and DraftKings. Okay. And I ended up putting this stuff out for free and people loved it so much, they asked me to start charging for it. And so I ran that as a business for years while I was in school.
Nice.
I sold that company as I graduated school, went to go and work at one of the defense contractors. I ran a product line there called Nuclear Actuators, where we sold these actuators almost like faucets that would turn big valves on and off. So these valves could be the size of a room. And you would have water flowing through them for nuclear power plants or aircraft carriers or submarines that if they were to ever overheat, our valves would help cool them down. And so I did that for about 2 years.
But and you would 3D print them, or like how were you involved in that though?
So
where's the connection there?
I was just running this 3D printing college club.
Yeah.
Just like a regular college club. And I ended up getting funding from New York State and the college. And the college is, I'm in Long Island, New York, and it's called Farmingdale State College. Okay. And I was the only student at the time who had his own lab. I had my own name on the door and I had full funding from the school. So that got the attention. That got the attention of these military defense contractors. And so they started recruiting me while I was in school. Nice. And I just visited their facilities just to see like what they were doing with 3D printing. And they were still kind of far off, but it just got me in the door. And so they basically held a spot for me once I graduated.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. All right. So you're working for these guys. Mm-hmm. It seeming like really important stuff that you were working on, like necessary to maintain the this stuff from overheating, because you don't want nuclear stuff overheating. We know what happens when it overheats.
Yep, exactly. So I was doing that for about 2 years. It was kind of a pseudo military environment, a lot of ex-military, ex-Navy working there. So it was very, you know, it was kind of tough to do for a while, you know, really long hours and very strict requirements. But
yeah,
I learned a lot from it. And, you know, I took that job because I needed some stability and structure in my life after being on the restaurant, waiter, bartender schedule for half a decade, you know?
Been there, yeah.
So I was like, all right, I need to straighten out my life. I need to get a schedule. I need to wake up early. And so that's
why. Wait. What year was this? How long ago was this?
That was 3 years ago.
Okay. So three years ago.
So I did that for 2 years, yeah.
Okay.
And then I wanted to get back into the less structured life because I found out what my that real structure was like. I was like, let me take a step back a little. So
Yeah,
I just got back into the whole startup web design life, and that's where I found, you know, NFTs and kind of took me on this journey. And now I'm doing this, whatever you would call this, full time. I'm really enjoying it.
Full time. So this is your. This is your whole gig now, is working with NFTs.
It's paying the bills, man.
All right. So do you have a business that you started?
Yep.
Like buying and selling NFTs or selling? Like, you know what? Let's just, what is an NFT? Why don't we just start there?
Gotcha.
And then, you know, what do we, I don't know anything about them. I know it's non-fungal token. Is that, did I get that right?
It's non-fungible. Token.
Fungible. Yeah. I'm picturing mushrooms.
Yeah,
like,
right.
What does this thing have to do with mushrooms? I don't get it at all. That's funny. All right. So break us down. What are these things?
Sure. So you're going to hear a lot of buzzwords because I'm going to do my best to use words that people may have heard before or might be able to have some sort of understanding. So like people know the word Bitcoin, but they might not necessarily know what it means. They hear the word blockchain. They might not necessarily know what it means, but they know it's different from like a squirrel or something. Like, so you kind of understand a little bit that it's about technology.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Some people will get it. So essentially there's different kinds of blockchain technology, and blockchain is a way over the internet for records to be solidified and stored and basically used as a public ledger for anybody all over the world to see what other people are doing with their transactions. That's kind of a simple way to break that down.
Okay.
And so there are different type of cryptocurrencies built on different kind of blockchains. So for instance, Bitcoin, which is like the big whale that everybody knows about, that is the major cryptocurrency, the first one. It's been, you know, it's kind of like the lead dog in the race that everybody looks at that to see what's going on. When Bitcoin's way up, mostly all the rest of crypto is way up, and it goes the same way going down.
Okay.
So you have all these different types of cryptocurrencies that do different things. Now, some of them are inflationary, meaning that there's unlimited supply and you can make as many as you want forever, basically like a fiat currency.
Right.
But then you also have some that are deflationary. So some of them are burned every once in a while. So there are like for instance, Bitcoin is capped at a max supply. So you can never have any more. So if someone loses one or they have it in their digital wallet and they can't forget their passcode, it's gone forever.
Yep.
So now each individual Bitcoin sat or piece or coin or token that you owned becomes more valuable no matter what, because there's just less available in the supply.
Right.
So Bitcoin does something different than Ethereum does, then does something different than XRP or Ripple does. So there's a lot of different ways to look at it, but essentially it's, you can't compare it to like the US dollar versus, you know, the yen or something, because those are both currencies used for the same exact things. But with Bitcoin, it's more of a store of value like gold that you want to hold for a while, that you don't really spend. It's kind of just more of a what you expect to be an appreciating asset for your portfolio to hedge against the dollar.
Hopefully.
Right. Yeah. That's the plan. And then you have ones like Ethereum, which actually are a cryptocurrency that you can build a lot of different projects off of. And it's a lot easier to use than Bitcoin would be. So there's a lot of big differences, but at the end of the day, cryptocurrency, blockchain, those two buzzwords, And then on top of that, you're able to create these tokens or these coins on top of these blockchains using cryptocurrency. So we can get into a little bit of the specifics of what that means, but does that help a little bit of a breakdown of like the basis of where we're starting?
So, definitely. It makes me think that these NFTs are, from what I've seen so far, they're basically digital images that now, from what you've just explained, are attached to specific blockchains of a specific cryptocurrency. Am I kind of close to the target?
We're definitely getting there. But one of the things that's most misunderstood about NFTs, which stand for non-fungible tokens, is that it's just about art and pictures. So there's so much more you can do with it, which is really exciting.
It's not just about art and pictures.
Even close. No, that's just what is most recognizable to people. And that's right now, technologically wise, what is the most established. So think about it. You know, when you had the internet in the, you know, the early 2000s, there was a lot of unknowns about what you could do, what type of programming languages would be introduced, right? Like back then, you didn't have the same type of, you know, HTML, CSS, JavaScript, all these different things. They weren't as advanced, and you didn't have all these, you know, programming languages and templates of application that people can use. So things have evolved over time. So right now, there's a lot of unknown about where we can go, but there's a lot of people planning to get there. So we can talk about some of the things that are happening.
Okay.
And so essentially, the way to understand a non-fungible token would be that when you have a dollar bill, you can't rip up that bill into two pieces, right? Like you can't have, you know, one side of a dollar bill, another side of a dollar bill, and then equal 50 cents. So that bill itself is unique. It has a serial number. You can't break it down any further besides trading it for something else, right?
Okay.
But Bitcoin is fungible in the fact that you could break it down as fractionalized as you want. You don't have to buy one Bitcoin. I can buy a fraction of a Bitcoin,
which
is called sats. I forget the exact amount, but it's like a million sats or something equals a Bitcoin. I forget the exact formula, but so you can have a bunch of different pieces of that. So that's a good way to explain is like you have a dollar, which you can't rip up. So like picture that as like a piece of art, or a lease, or a contract, or a deed, or something like that, right? It's non-fungible. Yeah. You can't tear it up. That piece of art that you have, it's based on what that piece of art is, that painting, that one image, right? If you rip Mona Lisa in half, you're ruining the value of it. You're not gaining value, right?
Yeah, of course. No, it makes sense.
So that's a good way to think about it. So when you think of like Bitcoin or cryptocurrency, you can buy fractions of it. But when you have a piece of art, that piece of art is what it is. Like it's unique, and you can make copies of it. But each individual copy that you have is owned by somebody. And so digitally, my name or my receipt is on this token. Okay. And so there's a lot of different types of tokens. Okay, there's the cryptocurrency type like Bitcoin and Ethereum, which is called an ERC-20.
Okay,
and then you have the NFT types of tokens like ERC-721 and ERC-115S, and they all do different things. So the ERC-20s are more like spendable cash cryptocurrencies, and the 721s are more like unique individual pieces of art. And so there's a lot more that you can do than just art, like I said, deeds, contracts. I could talk about some of the other technological
music
that you can do. There's a lot of music that's starting to be done right now. People are releasing albums of NFTs, and they get royalties from selling them. Yeah, there's a lot of really cool things, but music is one of the bigger things starting to pop up.
Okay. My question really is, so you said that you can split up an image that you own, right? It's an NFT that you own. How would you, because the internet is, memes are stolen. If a meme isn't tied to an NFT, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It could be, right? A meme could be an NFT.
Yep.
Let's say this meme is an NFT and I own it, and someone copies it and you know, spreads it around and people are sharing it everywhere. Like, how would I monetize that? Or how would I say, like, you can't, or can I not do anything? Or, you know, like, what's people from stopping sharing these images anyway? It's the internet.
Yeah. So that's the point of blockchain and traceability and public visibility to transactions, because the person who creates it has their own wallet, their own account. Everyone can see where it comes from. The person who buys it, you have records of all the transactions. So can you make a forgery of a piece of art, you know, that someone painted in real life? Of course. Can you take a picture, make a copy? Yes. But it's not from the person's hand who made it. And all of this can be tracked and traced. And so you can see who buys what from who. And so sometimes, for instance, people will just send things to other people's wallets just to say they own it. And you can see the transaction history of it being transferred to that wallet, which is pretty funny. It's like almost like a signature.
Huh. Okay. But it's like, you know, you make a duplicate of a song and you got it in your I don't know, iPad or whatever you listen to music on. I don't know. It's like, I don't understand how it makes money though. Like, this is your business, right? So are you creating NFTs? Are you finding them cheaper somewhere else and selling them for a profit? You know, like how is there, you know, where are you finding them? It's not, are you mining them? Like how does that work?
Yeah. So the way that I got into NFTs specifically in 2017. So one of the first NFTs that ever came out were called CryptoKitties. And what this was is
CryptoKitties. I got to look
this up. CryptoKitties. Yeah. And you could share the screen of it if you want, or if you do that. But so what it is, it's basically like kind of like Neopets or Tamagotchi, if you remember that stuff, where you're buying that this cute little almost pet that you own.
Is this it?
Yeah. Yep.
These guys?
Yeah. And so you can own them, you can breed them, you can buy them, you can sell them, they turn into different things. And so this was in 2017. This was one of the first instances of like blockchain gaming and NFTs. And so, yeah, those CryptoKitties, I got into it in 2017. I found out about it then, and I kind of forgot about it until earlier this year when a product called Top Shot came out, NBA Top Shot. And so what this is it's basically like digital trading cards, but instead of it being a card of a sports character, they're videos and they're called moments. So you can buy these moments of players that show you a video of a dunk or a shot or you know, a windmill. Yeah. All that. So that's how I really got started with NFTs. And so these things are selling at some of them hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Seriously?
Oh yeah, big time. And so that's how I got in.
Like professional video clips of these guys doing like killer moves.
Yeah, go to NBATopShot.com and you could see whatever you want. Like I could give away a Top Shot NFT to somebody if we want to do that later. NBATopShot.com, and you could see, you know, a bunch of different things pop up. You can click on any one of those. And so this is like the one of the most mainstream NFTs that are out right now. And they're funded by the NBA, full partnership. A lot of NBA players have their own accounts. Josh Hart, Tyrese Halliburton, LaMelo Ball. One of the main ones on here is Tyler Hero. So yeah, one right there you see is going for a little over $1,000 for Kevin.
Dang. And that's just for like this clip.
Yep. And so each one has a serial number. So that one right there is 327 out of 499.
Yeah.
And so the number one serial number or his jersey number would be even more expensive than those.
Oh, right.
Yep. So yeah, so that's like the most mainstream NFT right now that people know about. And so that's a gateway for a lot of people to getting into it. Yeah, if you look, all those people are verified, those NBA players and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
NFL players are into it right now. And so that led me into a platform called Zed Run, Z-E-D Run. It's a digital horse racing platform.
Okay.
So the NFTs themselves are digital horses that you can race and breed for money.
Okay. So this is really like a new level of gambling, gaming,
music.
I mean, art. It is a game. It, you know, like really, like when you like really the top Wall Street guys turn it into money is their game, right? So like it feels like this is like blending the different worlds together, and you know, you're creating. I mean, it came from CryptoKitties, which you said was a game, right? So did people own the different colored cats? Just to bring it back to the first one, yep. Right? So
there's different generations and there's different breeds and there's different types of cats that you can buy and then you can breed them together. So you want to look at certain traits, like is this cat, you know, better than this one? And if I breed them together, what will I get? And
yeah.
you could do the same with the horses as well. So you could take these digital horses. You can breed them to create more. You can race them. Some of them are good racers. Some of them are not. So you have to race at different distances and tracks to find out what their preferences are, if they're good racers or if they're breeders. These are going for thousands, tens of thousands of dollars as well.
What? This is a whole world I have known nothing about.
So each thing that I'm telling you, people are making full-time jobs out of each one of these games, let alone NFTs in general. So like right. There's a whole ecosystem surrounding NBA Top Shot. One of their last raises, I think, was for like $500 million or something at like a $3 billion valuation.
Wow.
So there's big money coming.
That's just NBA Top Shot.
And NBA Top Shot was created by the company Dapper Labs that first created CryptoKitties.
Okay.
And so what happened is they used to be on the Ethereum blockchain. And what happens with Ethereum is that when you use when you have transactions with Ethereum, you have to pay what's known as a gas fee. So there are digital miners who use computing power to confirm these transactions for you. And okay. They get paid in gas fees. So the more transactions going on at any given time, the higher the gas fee. So you can buy something that might be like 0.1 ETH, which is around $200, but you might have to pay 0.5 ETH or $1,000 in a gas fee. You know, like, so there's a lot of craziness that goes on. And at one time, they congested the network so much that the whole Ethereum network basically slowed to a halt. And so Dapper Labs created their own blockchain called Flow. And so they made NBA Top Shot almost as a proof of concept to show their Flow blockchain. And wow. So it's a massive company now. It's getting huge. And they have really big partnerships. I believe EA Sports as well. And oh, so they're going to be, yeah, it's going to be huge. There's a lot of people entering this industry.
I can't stand EA Sports. Just to put that into the air, EA Sports and me, I'm not a big fan of EA Sports.
no problem. I feel you, man. It's just an example. Also Konami. Ubisoft is getting involved.
So what I was just thinking though during that explanation, like what happens if there's, I don't know, a solar flare, or like the internet goes out, you know, or I don't know, an EMP blast, something. I mean, is it basically protected on everybody's different servers the way that blockchains kind of work, right?
Yes, but also I would say that your stocks are probably at a much bigger disadvantage if there's any kind of EMP.
Okay.
Like let's just put it this way. If there's an EMP, stocks down, crypto up.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
Yeah. Because it's a hedge against that in most cases, against the power and regular currencies.
But it still requires us to run on electricity. Like what if because we could get hit by a solar flare and knock out all electric on the entire planet. Like that could happen.
Yeah, man. Good luck getting your cash out of an ATM.
True. I mean, that's why I have a full plan. I mean, I have a house on a river. It's beautiful. I haven't told anybody that, but I just surprise chat. I literally have my own private river.
Man, down by the river. I love it.
Literally, dude. But it's beautiful. I'm gonna have a massive garden. I'm gonna have some chickens. So I'm kind of prepping to homestead. You know, if. Just because I don't know what's going to happen with this planet, dude. I'm getting a little sidetracked, but it's like,
yeah, listen, if we want to put despair into the conversation, talk about like all the things that can go wrong, like there's a lot more things that are going to be worse off than what we're talking about here.
That's not what I'm not talking despair, actually. I'm talking about prepping for my own life. Right.
Yeah, of course.
And that's kind of what you're doing right now with, really mastering this whole man, it really does feel like it's in its own community of the internet, like a new, like a door opened up and everyone's like, oh wow, there's like a huge opportunity here, like for this kind of new world, you know? So it's really interesting.
Yeah, man, we're super early to it. Like just knowing about it right now makes you early. And finding out about it and doing your research is really big. Twitter is very important. Being on Discord is very important. And and since you mentioned chickens, one of the drops that just happened the other day, a project that I'm involved in is called Chicken Derby.
Okay.
And they're digital chickens that we can race and breed, similar to the Zed Run horses, but more of a cartoon Mario Kart Angry Birds style.
All right. See, I want to do, you know what? I don't even want to say what my idea is right here, like what I would want to do. I'm going to talk to you after the show, and we're going to work on something, because I think, I mean, I've been a gamer for 30 years. I've been playing games my whole life, you know, ever since I got my first Game Boy when I was 6 years old. The first one, I still have that one. And I have plans for starting a game company in the future, or at least, you know, it's one of the things I would love to do. And these kind of games, I mean, I see what they're doing, and this feels like it's just like boring phone games that like everyone plays. Like, what is that one game, that Candy Crush, you know what I mean? It's like, that's, people are like, oh, I love Candy Crush, and I'm like, yeah, but is it really a game though? I mean, okay, for all those Candy Crush people that love Candy Crush, look, I'm not saying it isn't a game, but I mean, as far as games go, it's on the base level, all right?
Yeah.
Right. It's on the base level, all right? It's not really that difficult.
It's a time waster. Yeah.
Or even worse, the tap games where you're like, I tap this for like 10 times and then I earn something that taps it for me. Now I could do tap this 10 times and then, you know, now I tap everything and yay, I'm collecting literally nothing. Like, you're not doing it. Like, all right. But
well, here, let me give you some good examples then to help you understand, since you're a gaming guy, so this will help.
Okay, so bring it.
So some of the biggest upside to the NFT and blockchain community is gaming. For me, that's where it goes.
That's
for me. When people ask, you know, three things, like what are the top three upside terms that you think is going to be involved with NFTs? And for me, it's gaming, and then like real estate and finance, but gaming's at the top. And so when you think about games like Fortnite, Roblox, Minecraft, even things like Madden, right? You're buying skins and avatars and all these collectibles and items in the game, but do you actually own them?
No,
you don't own them. So when you get a new game, you don't transfer over the stuff that you own from the past game, and you don't bring over this avatar clothing from Fortnite into your Madden game. It just doesn't happen. There's no transferability and stuff like that. So, but the way that it works with blockchain is they have metaverses, right? So you have these different type of digital wearables that you can use. So there's a platform called Sandbox, which is very like pixelated and voxelated, but you can create your own games in there. So I can go in there, just create.
Well, that's Roblox right now. Like Roblox has like a huge market because of that.
But you don't own anything. So you're spending all this money, billions of dollars every year, to these companies that they own everything. You don't own any of it. So now picture Fortnite being a game that when you're buying these skins, you're not just buying it for in that game, but you buy a skin outside of a game, right? Let's say a central marketplace or a decentralized marketplace. You buy this cape that you love wearing, this vampire cape.
You can take
that, and now since that's an NFT that you own, you can import it into different games and use it as your avatar in this game or in that game. If you buy a battle axe and there's other games that support it, you can use that battle axe across multiple games. So you own that. You own this. You're in your possession. And so, if you have it in your wallet, you just go into a game. It reads whatever is in your digital wallet. And so like for me, for instance, like in one of the games, I have, a hoodie, I have custom shoes, I have all this digital wearable stuff. And so essentially where it's going down the line is, if you've ever seen the movie Ready Player One.
I was thinking it in my head.
That's where we're going. And that's what everyone's building for. So right now, like I own digital land that I'm going to build on. And a lot of people are owning digital land and digital assets. And so that's really where all of this is going.
Where is this digital land?
So there's different platforms that are building it out, building these metaverses. So one is called Sandbox.
Yeah.
And it's more pixelated. And you can go in and you can buy land. They have literally, it's a game engine where you can go in and create your own video games of any type you want with whatever characters you want. You could program them, animate them, and you own the land. So you can send people there to play your video games and stuff like that.
Is this it?
Yep. So it's like picture like Roblox, but this is blockchain. And so if you look on the top right, you see premium lands for sale. Some of them go for a few $100. Some of them go for tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands. You could see all these avatars in there. You buy that land, you can create all this different game mechanics on there. So these are all different plots of land. Then you also have one called
Is that you right there?
I could show you where mine is.
Oh, that's not you, this monkey?
No. Mine is, so if you look, you see that little skull, the ape skull in the middle of the page? To the left a little bit. To the left. You'll see that right in the middle under the big R. But mine's like kind of around there. Yeah, by that. So that's the Bored Ape plot of land. And so Bored Ape is...
Club.
That's what I have in my profile picture. The Bored Ape.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of them that you keep putting out.
It's one of the biggest things right now in NFTs. Tons of celebrities and crypto millionaires and everybody's all getting involved. But essentially what it is it's a generative project. So they made 10,000 of these apes. And the way that these projects work is an artist will create a trait. So they'll create like a pair of glasses or a shirt or an earring. And they'll make a bunch of different kinds. So the category will be like hats, and you'll have a bunch of different types of hats. And another category might be like clothes, and you'll have a bunch of different types of clothes. And so when you purchase it, it randomizes all these traits and spits one out based on the pre-made traits. So like mine, if you look at my profile, I have an earring, it has a stunt jacket, I have a flipped up hat. So some other people have the hat, some other people have the jacket, but no one has the exact combination that I have. So that's my character, my avatar now. So that's my digital personality. And
I'm going to pop this open for everyone to see.
Yeah, sure. They're worth, I think, like $10,000 to $15,000 each now.
That image that is just yours, that thing is worth $10,000 to $15,000.
Minimum. So that's what the cheapest one is worth. Mine's worth a lot more than that.
Wow.
Yeah, I have four of them now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's one of the bigger things happening right now, and you'll see a lot of people using that as profile pictures all over Twitter.
I do. I see. Well, especially on your posts, because you know, we follow each other. I see your stuff all the time. So, when I posted that you were going to be on my show tonight, I got a few followers that had the ape pictures, and I'm like, oh snaps! Like I know where they're from.
Yeah,
you know, they're over from Benjamin.
Awesome community.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, and. Man, the freaking like potential of this, you know, it's like owning your own items in a game. I mean, of course it goes into that. It's going to be more cosmetics will be much more prevalent because, you know, the pay to win thing would be, you got to be really delicate with that. Cause you don't want people to have like you said, an axe, but then if like you start a game and all of a sudden you have an axe and it's a PvP game and you have some uber powered axe and they don't. You know, it's a little weak, but.
Well, yeah, let me give you the quick pitch about just kind of NFTs in general and why I love them so much and where I think it's going and why I chose to get involved in a full-time capacity and even what that means, right? Like, what does it mean to be in NFTs full-time? So you can always do the classic buying and selling, and that's what I've been doing for a while. You know, I'll buy into these projects. Sometimes they go way up in value and I'll sell and I'll buy into other projects. But the reason I got into NFTs outside of Top Shot is the decentralization of it. And one of the things that really has been on my mind for years and years and years and years was like the centralization of banking, right? Federal Reserve and all that, like, it was a big thing for me. Ron Paul supporter, you know, that's just where I came from. And I was always really big on the people having power. And so decentralization of this takes a lot of the gatekeeping away from traditional industries, like, you know, Hollywood, for example, besides all the crazy stuff going on. The gatekeeping in those industries and the art industries, that someone from the street can't create a painting and sell it at like Sotheby's for $10 million, right? It's just not going to happen. You need all kinds of credit and clout. But the other day, a 12-year-old came up with a project and sold over $1 million worth of their NFTs. And so the ability for someone who just has talent, no matter what social class they're in, no matter what parts of the world they live in, all you really need is an internet connection. And you can create this world and this life for yourself. And so I started getting into it for that aspect of it. And I was never really a big art fan, but I love that my money can support someone who, you know, maybe living on the other side of the world, working out of their barn, building chairs and slaving away over, you know, manual work in their hands and getting blisters for their whole lives and, you know, making one wooden chair at a time. But now they can draw a piece of art of that chair or show a video of them building that chair and sell that for tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, or just start building slowly and make a life out of that. And so you're giving a lot of options to people who wouldn't normally have them. And so for someone like myself, I didn't have a lot of education or schooling. I did end up going to school for web development and programming, but I fought my whole life to get to where I am. I paid for all my own stuff, paid for my schooling, paid for my car. Since I was young, I was, you know, really holding my own. And nice. So I really want people to have that experience of being able to create, and this gives them that possibility. And so
that's the New Yorker in you.
Yeah.
I lived in New York for 12 years, man. I know New Yorkers, man, that they work.
Yeah, bro. I grind. I work hard. I've always had two or three jobs, always been really going hard. And I've had my own business. I've had employees, and I really like to look out for other people. And one of the things that I've been able to do is through investing in other people's art and the value, you know, blowing up and being able to have all of this, you know, income coming in from buying and selling stuff and being able to give back to up and coming artists that may not have a platform or have a couple hundred followers on Twitter and no one knows about, but their art is amazing. So it's just opportunity. And so what people choose to do with that opportunity is up to them, but some choose to do one of one pieces of art and just put that out. Some people want to spend years and make big platforms of gaming. Some want to do marketplaces. Some want to make real estate contracts. Some want to do music albums. It really just, whatever people want to do, they can do through these things called smart contracts. So smart contracts is the foundation of NFTs. And the way that it works is you can code in whatever you want to show up on these NFTs or whatever you want it to do. So just as a quick example, you can make these projects that make NFTs and spit out a bunch of random pieces of art, but you can code in that every time one of those is purchased, 5% goes off to a charity wallet. So right away, before you even touch it, it never even comes to your wallet. It gets siphoned out right away, and you coded that in. So everything that you can do that you can think of in your brain, you can code into these contracts. And if you want to put pictures or you want to put real estate deeds, or you want to put any kind of thing that you could think of, just be creative and do it.
All right. So that's optimistic though. So like now on the negative side of it, what's stopping people from adding viruses or you said it goes to charity, 5% goes to charity. All right. Well, what about every time something sells, it goes to my own wallet or something like that? Or, you know, like they're, yep. I mean, well, that's part of it, right? Can you see it? Is it free code? Like we can see all of the things that are on it, or is it like hidden and you don't know?
Well, so a lot of it right now is kind of wild, wild west. I don't want SEC coming in and regulating the hell out of everybody, but there's always going to be people trying to scam no matter what you're in life. And so for instance, if you create a collection as an artist, you know, you want to mint your song that, you know, your lead in intro and either give it away to your followers or sell it to people as a one-on-one, a one-of-one limited edition, or make 1,000 copies and give them away, or whatever you want to do with it, you can do that. Someone can make a copy of that and try and sell it, and people probably will buy it if they're not experienced enough, right?
Okay.
But you have some centralized marketplaces that'll take it down if you report them. They'll verify different collections. And so there's ways that people are trying to figure it out. But yeah, it's very early. A lot of the contracts are public and verified and easily readable. Not all of them are. So a lot of it is you have to do your own research and look at who are the people involved. There's always going to be scams. You know, people are going to get made off with stocks or investments, whatever it is. So can you protect yourselves in certain ways? Yes, you can be careful and have best practices and like have a hardware wallet so you don't keep your money connected to the internet. No, I one of mine right now, I'll show you. This is where I keep the majority of my money in something like this. It's like a little USB called Ledger.
Yeah.
And this is called a hardware wallet. So it's cold storage. So it's
don't lose that.
No, it's not connected to the internet. It's you have to have passwords and seed phrases, and it could self-destruct if someone gets it and types in the wrong password too many times. So yeah, you want to be careful with it. You want to know your codes and everything, but there's protections, things you can do to protect yourself. But yes, people are always going to be looking to scam whatever you're doing in life. But that's why with blockchain, everything's verifiable. So you want to make sure that you're looking at the right account, you're looking at the right contract, and people will understand how to do this over time, but you're not going to jump in day one and understand everything that there is about it. So it's really a learning experience. And one of the coolest things is it's redefining what it is to have a career. And so a lot of people are jumping from well-established careers and going into art or going into platforms and gaming. A lot of the platforms do things like, you know, for every digital tree we sell, we're planting a real life tree, things like that. Okay. The Bored Apes, they airdropped, which means they gave a bunch out for free of these digital dogs that they made. And every single secondary sale that is made from those dogs, I think it's 5% or 2.5%, but a few percentage of that goes directly to No Kill Animal Shelter. So they get none of the proceeds of that. It just goes automatically to them. And so there's a lot of people who are doing things for the right reasons. There's a lot of people who aren't, and you're going to have to figure it out. There's going to be a lot of people with Twitter followers saying, hey, buy this thing that's probably getting paid behind closed doors that you don't know about. So be careful. You know, there's a wild, wild west. There's a lot of risk. There's a lot of reward. We're very early, but same thing with the internet back in the day. And, you know, there are bubbles forming for sure. And there are going to be people left holding certain bags in certain places. But I always try to inform as much as I can. And me being involved in NFT, so everyone's clear, is not just buying and selling these digital assets, which is a big part of it. But I also consult projects, I advise, I build communities, I, you know, set up Discord servers and bring people to it to get them established for projects. So there's a lot more that I do in addition to just the buying and selling. So when people hear me saying that I'm full time, I also have a steady income stream that I've set up through different avenues in this environment. So it's not just buying and selling and keeping those profits, because those are also short term financial transactions, similar to stocks and capital gains. So you have to be careful with taxes. You have to be careful with fees. But yeah, like my full-time employment is based around being very involved, doing a lot of deep research and advising companies on how to proceed within the community, within their blockchain, within their smart contracts.
Right on. Well, I mean, there's a lot of, I'm watching chat and there's some crazy spammers right now. You know, people, you piss people off, or you're saying something right that people don't want you to hear when you got spammers in chat. I mean, I just bought a house, you know, so I've just put money into land, and a lot of people are basically saying that, like, you know, don't, you know, this is a scammer, like, you know, and I don't necessarily, I don't think a lot of people understand this because, you know, it makes sense in the digital realm that we are now in, you know, because it's just a new world. Why is this not? Hold on, I gotta ban this one person. It's not working. Well,
since you mentioned house, there was a house that sold as an NFT for $500,000.
A house.
Yeah, no, there's a digital house, but there's also a real house.
Well, what can you do with the digital house, though? You know what I mean? Like, I bought a physical house that I own. I own the land myself. Like, it's like no one can, it's property. It's like when in doubt, buy property. Isn't that like really like the thing to do? I'm not saying that, anyone should do with their money. I think any investment is risky business. You know, so man, this person is nonstop. Anyway.
The thing with these are, I'm not telling anyone on here specifically, like, go buy this, go buy that. Like, I'm not giving financial advice. I say what I like and what I get involved in, but like, I'm not telling your audience, go spend your money. Right.
Right.
Like, I'm just explaining what things are and how it works and examples. And yes, digital land, you can build on digital land. And so what the expectation is that the more like divided we get as a society and the more technological we get as a society, the more people are going to escape to these digital worlds and universes. And so there's all kinds of things going on right now. There's big digital concerts that are happening. There's digital land and digital games that are being built on. There's a lot of money going around with them. So this isn't just a scam. There's a lot of commercial big companies getting involved. And if you want to look up a story, you may have heard of a platform called TechCrunch, the site, and the founder sold his apartment as an NFT.
Haven't heard it.
Yeah, it's a big tech platform, like a website and content provider. But the founder of it sold his apartment as an NFT. So he sold the rights to it through an NFT. So someone owns the rights. Instead of owning a physical piece of paper of the deed, it's a digital contract, smart contract of his apartment.
Interesting.
Yeah. There's a lot of different applications, and it's going to keep growing, and some are going to fail. Some are going to be great. But even knowing about it now means you're very early.
Awesome. All right. Well, a lot of people now know about it. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We're going to get into some super chats and maybe answer some questions that some people have. And let's see what we got here.
Sure.
All right. First and foremost, we got Robert Wild saying, have a blessed soul, blessed day, and blessed life doing what you love. Thanks for all you do, Adam. And chat, thank you, Robert. Mark says, buy Krigler Coffee because unlike NFTs, it's a real, meaningful, tangible asset. And each sip has a long-lasting flavor that only you can own and enjoy.
It also expires in a few weeks.
But Krigler Coffee is roasted when you order it. I can't say that about every coffee company.
I love it.
Or most coffee companies. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Sleazy says, two more bags and a mug. All hail Commodore. Thank you, Sleazy. How you doing, mate? Good to see you.
So just to cut in there on coffee, one of the things you can do, and so a project that's being formed right now, through the digital ape community, the Bored Ape community, it's almost a social token. So we're very involved with each other and we help each other do businesses and funding and all that. So it's a really big on community, but there's a project right now that is getting funding to create a winery. And by owning membership NFT to their project, you get discounts, you get free wine, they send it to you. So there is real physical stuff involved in this. Like, I have a wooden engraving of my digital ape. Like, there's someone just sent me beer, a Bored Ape beer that they made. So they made a whole beer platform on it, and they're sending it to Bored Ape owners for owning the ape. You get it for free, or discounted. So there's a lot of real world application to this. Don't just get stuck in the digital aspect of it. Like, you could create a membership token for your coffee and just say, whoever is an early adopter who bought this from me, we're going to send you, a monthly supply of coffee for free forever. Or, like, you could do things like that. And so it's not just about, a digital coffee, but digital ownership of this membership loyalty rewards that you have. So people donating $5, to a super chat or a Patreon, you could be buying into the person, buying into Adam and owning a piece of what he's doing, almost like a Kickstarter but you're getting essentially equity because you're investing in him. So if you're an artist and you want to put out your music, or you want to put out your coffee, and you want to put out a token of membership saying that anything I, as Adam Krigler, puts out as my ownership, art, music, coffee, my early supporters who buy into my token and own that, whether it's 1,000 or 1,000,000, will get discounts, free things sent to you, stickers, this. And so whatever you choose to do, you have those early supporters. So now people who, if you have 1,000 of those and people buy it for $100, and Adam goes from 100,000 followers to 1,000,000, and you're the next Joe Rogan, and you have people who bought into you early, though, that $100 they spent could be worth 10,000 now, because there's only so many of them, but they give you access to be a part of Adam's life and his career and his trajectory as a person, influencer, creator. And so there's, when you think about all these different kind of applications, I could talk for hours and hours about this stuff. I'm just trying to know, like, the specifics.
I know we don't have hours and hours. Right. I just want to get some super chats though. Let's, Fair Lady says, four eyes look stupid with only two eyes. Well, you're calling me that I look stupid because I only have two eyes now? What is it? What kind of super chat is that? Jeez. People are brutal right now. Mark G says, not enough glare. Now we read what you see. Now we can't read what you see. Yeah, but it's good. Now you guys have to actually pay attention to me instead of trying to figure out what is on my screen through my glasses. I'm voting for Solar Flare 2022, Mark G says. please no. Dat Simple Dope says, NFTs are starting to sound like Pokemon. Don't even start, Ben. I know that you have a lot to say about that, because we could probably, there probably will be a Pokemon game.
There are.
Where you start breeding them and start owning the different breeds and whatnot.
There's like three different versions.
See? Not a surprise. Mark G says, are you worried about Ponzi NFT scams, and how do you prevent it? Most of these NFTs do smell funny. He's right.
Definitely. Yeah, you have to do your own research. You have to be careful. It's going to happen in certain circumstances. So never spend more money than you're willing to lose in anything outside of the necessities.
That's true. That's a good answer. Francisco says, real value of crypto is its blockchain protocol, which most people really don't understand, you know, because it is another world to really understand. Harpy just says, thank you. All right, thank you. It was a little peach sticker. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Mark G says, the wood and polymer stock market is more fun, though. Hey, man, to each their own.
That's it.
That's how, you know, it's like, to each their own. Chuck Norris says, Krigler whiskey, do it. I will. I don't know if you know about this, but Krigler and Krigler whiskey was one of the largest distillers in America between the years 1890 and 1917. Yeah,
that's awesome.
So, and I have the recipe also. So I'm gonna be bringing that back. Oh, you know it. I love whiskey. So, Lance Johnson says, I hope you enjoy the Nordic summer, Adam. You know, it's funny, the name of the RV that I'm in an RV right now in Sweden, by the way. I am on the other side of the planet. And this thing is actually a Nordic. It's a Mercedes Nordic RV. That's the name of it. It's a Nordic. So it is a beautiful place where I'm at. It's really nice up here. So thank you, Lance. I appreciate that. Mr. Squiggle says, my mom had to stop drinking coffee because of her kidneys. She was struggling, but I bought her some fake news blend to try last week. She was so happy and she enjoyed it a lot. She cried. Thanks, man. Wow, really? Man, that's awesome. I'm really happy that your mom can have coffee again. That's fantastic. The fake news blend is, of course, the decaf. I don't know if you enjoy that as much as I do. Craig says, NFTs and crypto are here to stay. Do your own research before investing in anything. Internet wasn't taking seriously at first either.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, that's right. Right? I mean, you were talking about in the 90s when people were like, there was that one guy, the defense secretary for Clinton in like 1998. He said, the internet won't be more important than fax machines.
I remember that. I remember that.
And then fax machines. Like, dude, the internet is way, one of the most important things in of our lives right now, because everything revolves around the internet.
That's why I'm saying we're so early. And the thing I've always tried to do my whole life, and we talked about 3D printing earlier, I was on it, you know, 10 years ago before anyone was even thinking about it. I try to skate to where the puck's going, not where it is. So I'm not looking to see, hey, what's the most popular thing right now and can I bandwagon on it? I'm trying to see what's going to be huge in the future and how do I attach myself to it as early as possible and be one of the leaders.
The green screen. You're not standing in front of a thing of bricks?
Oh my God.
What is this, lies? NFT is a scam. we just blew the lid on this whole thing.
That is hysterical. My puppy was just chewing on it.
You do have two new dogs. They are really cute. The man
behind the curtain. I heard it and I didn't see it until you said something. And I look back and my wife is sitting there holding my puppy going, I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to do it. It was a dog. Oh my goodness. What's the dog's name there?
This is Delilah.
Delilah, she's cute. Wow, what a cutie.
She's a little terror.
Oh my goodness.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to go to where I think things are gonna be. And am I gonna get everything right? No, but I know what the calls I've already made have put me in a position that have already set me up for the first 32 years of my life had nothing compared to the last 3 months of what I've done. So I'm setting myself up for hopefully the rest of my life getting into this, and not because I'm trying to scam anybody or do anything stupid like that. Like, this is legitimate work. This is legitimate creativity, technology. So yes, you can say that you don't understand something, but that doesn't mean that it's not already going on. This has been happening for years and people right now are still early. That's what shows how much the potential is there.
I think you said something really important. Sometime during the show, you mentioned the art community, right? And how they will spend $10 million on a piece of 200-year-old art, whatever, you know, 1,000-year-old art. I don't know, you know, name a piece of art that sells for $10 million. It's kind of like how cryptocurrency is taking the powers away from the central banking system. It's almost the similar way NFTs are taking and giving power back to the individual creator and of all things, because it's not just art, it's music, it's clips on a TV show. It could be a clip of someone that made a TikTok video that went viral or something, you know, and then like the news wants to use it. And it's like, you know, it's just kind of like making a way to use the internet to their advantage and keeping the power to the creator almost. And it's pretty cool.
You know that animated flying cat with the Pop-Tart body?
Yeah.
The NFT itself sold for like $600,000. The NFT of the Charlie bit my finger. David after dentist, I believe, or Charlie bit my finger. One of those. Sold the rights to that through their NFT. Today, Mila Kunis, Ashton Kutcher, and Seth MacFarlane dropped an NFT animated series today. So I'm telling you guys, like, if you've ever wanted to be early on something in your life and you've missed the boat on Bitcoin early on, and you always think like, man, I wish I got in at that time, this is the time. I'm telling you, I'm making a full-time career out of this after doing 35 other jobs my entire life, including one of them being working 2 years as a product manager, a program manager in a military nuclear facility. So trust me, like, I didn't leave that kind of stuff just for fun.
we got a couple more super chats. Mr. Squiggle says, exposed. The man behind the screen says, you rang. Oh, wait, you said curtain. My mistake. Well, there wasn't a man behind his screen, so that would have been really crazy if there was someone just standing there. Who knows what could have happened there? Luckily, it was just a doorway. But Ben, thank you for joining me, man. This has been a pleasure. I definitely have a better grasp on what NFTs are. And hopefully you out there, if you were wondering what they are, you have more of a grasp on them. I saw a lot of haters, which is, you know, it's kind of surprising because my show is about becoming enlightened on things, you know, like that's what I want to do. I personally wanted to know more about what NFTs are, how they relate to cryptocurrency, and they absolutely go hand in hand. So it was really nice to get someone to break it down for me, Ben. I really do appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I appreciate you bringing me on. It's, you know, my pleasure. One of the things I love to do is onboard new people and educate. And I just want to close out. I saw someone in the chat say that I can only talk about things regarding NFTs. I can run circles around you in almost any other topic. Trust me. The reason that I'm getting into NFTs and I'm so good at it is because I do a lot of research. And it's not something I just woke up and found yesterday morning. So watch yourself, brother.
Hey, don't worry about the chat. You got to recognize that the internet has literally every kind of person, and there's the people that suck on the internet. but I will also say that my chat is one of the best chats in all of YouTube. Shout out to my chat. You guys are the best.
Shout out to the chat.
Ben, I'm going to give you the camera for a second. Just you tell everybody where to follow you, where to find you, what you're doing, what's coming soon. I know you got something dropping this week. Why don't you go ahead and have a little shout out?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you bringing me on. So my Twitter is xbenjaminx. So you could find me there. I'm on Twitch and Twitter and YouTube and all the social medias. And listen, I'm not being arrogant about knowing a lot or being smart. I'm just saying this is something that I've spent a lot of time researching since the beginning of the year. Every single day, I've done almost nothing but this. And so it's something that I'm really passionate about. I'm really supportive of. And I hope that what the information I provided here can help people out. And if not, go on with your life and just remember the time you saw the episode, and, you know, good luck to you.
All right. Sounds good. All right, everybody. Well, thank you very much for joining. That was my show. I will be back tomorrow here on The Krigler Show. You guys have a great night. I will see y'all next time.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, man.
Please smash the like button for The Krigler Show. Coming to you live Monday through Friday, 6:30 Eastern Time.